may have noticed that it's hot in here. We've had the best minds of our congregation working on it, and I don't know if it's been resolved, but if it's not resolved, we will have it looked at, and we'll have it fixed, I hope, by next Sunday. Well, have you ever heard the expression, I've got good news and I've got bad news? You heard that, said that? You know, today is kind of bad news with this air conditioner situation. But I've got good news and I got bad news. We've heard it said, we've said it ourselves, but it seems that there's often more bad news than good news. That's just what it seems like sometimes. A few years ago, the family and I gave my father a set of CDs called We Interrupt This Broadcast. The CDs contained recordings of different instances when a regular radio or television program was interrupted to break important news. The CDs included significant events from the 30s all the way to the late 90s, from the Hindenburg explosion to Princess Diana's death in the late 90s. And just listening to those CDs, it just seemed like there was more bad news than good news in the 20th century. There was the ending of World War II, the fall of the Berlin Wall, but over and over again, it seems like it was bad news. JFK's assassination, Martin Luther King's assassination, Robert Kennedy's assassination, the fall of Saigon, the Challenger explosion, the Oklahoma City bombing. It was just one sad thing after another. And it just, to me, made it obvious that we live in a broken world. Think about the last 10 to 15 years and the things that we have experienced or seen others experience, from Katrina in New Orleans to Ike on our own coast, tsunamis in Asia, an earthquake in Haiti, a great recession putting millions of people unemployed, wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, the rise of ISIS, civil war in Syria, symbolized by that little boy we saw pictures of over this last week. Terrorism in Europe, terrorism in the U.S. Bad stuff. But there have been good things. You know, good things have happened over the years, but the bad news always seems to stand out, and it is easy, and the temptation is to let all that's negative in the world, let that negativity seep into us and twist us and deform us. But I don't think that's what Jesus would have us do. All this bad news highlights that we live in a world that is in part enslaved by sin, enslaved by evil and death, that we live in a world in need of salvation. We live in a world that is in need of good news. And in the midst of all this bad news, there is indeed good news with a capital G and a capital N. We have the good news of Jesus Christ. There is someone who has worked to overcome all these negative things. There is someone who offers support, encouragement, and assistance to us as we work through these sadder parts of life. We have a person who calls us to do that same work. Today we are told of a woman who appeared in the synagogue where Jesus was teaching, and the woman had a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years, that she was bent over and quite unable to stand. Jesus sees her, calls her over, and says, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." And then he laid his hands on her, and immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. That's good news. That's good news. She was delivered from a spirit that kept her from standing up straight for 18 years. But for some reason, it seems to be bad news for the leader of the synagogue. The leader of the synagogue becomes indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, and instead of addressing Jesus, he addresses the crowds, saying, it's kind of like scolding the crowds. There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. So the leader refers to some detailed rules regarding the kind of healing that was allowed on the Sabbath. It wasn't that healing wasn't necessarily allowed on the Sabbath. It was just certain more urgent kinds of healing that was allowed on the Sabbath. But Jesus says, "You hypocrites, do you not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it to water? And ought not this woman, a woman who's been to have this ailment for 18 years, should she not be set free from her bondage on the Sabbath day? The Sabbath day is a day of rest. It's a day of liberation. Should she not be set free from what ails her on the Sabbath day? And so Jesus refers to the rules governing the tying and loosening of knots. Apparently they had rules governing such things, such kind of work that was forbidden on the Sabbath, even though there were some exceptions. So Jesus says, you know, could he not free the woman, a daughter of Abraham, who had been tied up by the devil? Maybe we untie our donkeys and other animals. Can we untie a person from what binds her? So through his words and his actions, Jesus demonstrates that the kingdom of God had come near. He demonstrates that there is good news, that the reign of God is for those who are imprisoned, that they are freed, that the captives are released. Jesus here is the great deliverer who brings that woman and brings us out of the land of suffering into a new life of freedom from evil, sin, and death that enslaves the world. Jesus brings and enacts good news. Good news. So the question for us on this day might be, how can we be bearers and enactors of good news like Jesus was? On this day when so many of us are going back to school, either as teachers or students, as faculty, staff, you know, how can we bring the good news? How can we enact the good news, whether it's at school, at work, at home? How can we be bearers of that good news? Now, we may think, who am I to bring good news? Who am I with all my sin, if you will? Who am I with all my crazy stuff perhaps going on in my life? Who am I to bring good news to anyone? How can I speak for God? How can I do what God would have me do? And when we ask that question, we are like the prophet, Jeremiah, whom God calls to be his prophet to the people of Israel. And in that moment, Isaiah asked the same question we may be asking ourselves. Oh, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But God doesn't let him off the hook. He says to him, do not say, I am only a boy. For you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched his mouth, and the Lord said to him, now I have put my words in your mouth. Now, sometimes we sell ourselves short. We're kind of like Buzz Lightyear in Toy Story 1. We're in Toy Story 1. Buzz, in the beginning, thinks that he is a real space ranger, finds out in the course of the movie that he is not a space ranger, but is, to his mind, a silly, insignificant thing as a toy. And then Woody, we all know Woody. Woody says, you're the greatest thing in the world. You are a toy, and you belong to a boy named Andy. That's the greatest thing in the world. I'm paraphrasing what Woody says, but that's what Woody is implying, that even though he may seem insignificant, he is something great that brings joy. So today, Jeremiah is called to speak God's word, to build and to plant, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow. God appoints Jeremiah over nations and kingdoms. He appoints someone from a small, insignificant village in the smallest tribe of Israel to go and speak for him. And God calls each of us in our own way to bring good news of salvation to the world, to announce in word and deed God's peace and reconciliation. One way we do this is by being peacemakers, wherever we may be. I came across an article in the Christian magazine called Relevant. I think it's an online magazine, but it's called Relevant, and it's an article making the point about peacemaking. He said that this author named Thomas Christensen said that to be peacemakers, we have to be willing to serve others, to put concern for others above ourselves, be willing to lay down our opinions and arguments and desires to be right as a form of dying to ourselves. And that if we are not laying down our preferences, discomforts, and self-righteousness, then we are probably not being peacemakers. And he also makes the point of saying, but I'm just one person. I'm just one person. What can I do? Nobody is listening to me. And he says that all of us, no matter who we are, have influence. We have the opportunity to influence others, our families, our friends, coworkers, church members, our online network of folks, anywhere that we regularly visit. So we have influence. I agree with him. We have influence by what we say and do. We can use that influence to advance God's purposes. We can choose to be agents of the gospel, agents of a positive influence or a negative influence, no matter where we are. So we have good news. We have bad news. There's bad news out there. But there's also good news. There's good news. In some ways, we are surrounded by the bad news because a lot of bad things happen, whether it's out in the world or in the news of the day or in our lives. But through Jesus, we have been free to stand up straight and to share the freedom of his life, to share his peace, to receive comfort and support from him and offer comfort and support to others. We're to go out, share the good news, and to embody the kingdom of God wherever we are, with whomever we meet, bringing healing to this broken world, no matter who we are. Amen.